On KFMO now by Brian Jones, head coach of the Football North County Raiders, as he will be resigning from his position after 9 seasons at the helm, and with that will be retiring from teaching at the end of the school year. And coach, I imagine having this decision in mind, it's probably flown by at times, and other days it's probably felt like it's a ways away. Take us through the process of all that.
You know, it's gone fast, like you said, but there. Kind of a quote I heard one time, the years fly by and the days crawl by. It's kind of been some of that at times. And then other times it's been, you know, it just, you blink and you're halfway through the season and you blink again and it's the end. It's been rewarding. Something when I got into coaching back in 2000, when Coach Hogg came into my room that spring morning back in 2000, asked me if I wanted to be a part of his staff as a, you know, as a young assistant. And it was something I never saw myself doing, but you know, things change and evolve, you know, as you stay at a place. And, you know, when I applied, it felt like, you know, the time was right for me to throw my name into the hat. And, you know, I never had lofty expectations or grandiose expectations of what I wanted to accomplish. It's just, I wanted to impact the kids in our community and I wanted to leave the program in a better place than I found it. And, you know, much like, you know, any topic out there, you know, there's going to be varying opinions on whether or not I did that. But, you know,
let's go.
If I look back, do I have any regrets? No, I don't really have any regrets, because regrets are things that you wish you hadn't have done, except for maybe the way the semifinal game in 21 ended for me. But other than that, is there things I would have done different? Certainly there's things I would have done different. And, you know, you can second guess yourself all the time, but I feel like, you know, that's the things that keep me awake at night, or kept me awake at night, was the things that maybe I should have done differently and didn't.
You look back at this season and starting the season 1-5, you know, sometimes players can look at that and think, okay, well, the season's done. Well, I don't think this team did, because this team got better as the season went along, finished out going 1-5 at the start, 5-1 at the finish. You end the season 6-6, which is .500, but playing in a district championship game, not many teams in the state can say they were able to do that after a 1-5 start. When you look back at this season, is there a certain thing or a certain differences that changed throughout the season that really rose to your attention?
Well, I think the big one was, you know, some of the guys that had not been varsity players before that we had to rely on at the beginning of the season, they got more, you know, they got a lot of game experience and they were thrown to the wolves, no doubt. The big thing is they trusted, the kids trusted what we told them. We told them from the get-go. I don't try to sugarcoat anything. I was very upfront and very transparent with everybody I talked to about our season. It was the toughest schedule that we had ever played in my tenure as the head coach going into the season. So we knew that the season was going to be tough. After the Raleigh game, that was kind of rock bottom for the season, because we did not perform very well. It was homecoming and we just did not, there was 2 weeks in a row we did not play very well. And, you know, the next week we did lose to Festus, but there was some spark and we kind of showed that we could move the ball a little bit and kind of our kids competed. And then the next week when we were warming up at Windsor, a week 7 game, that was kind of the turning point of this season. And I knew that, I didn't know if we were going to win, but I knew that the kids hadn't quit yet, because they were really energized about playing on that Friday night. And, you know, that's the thing that I guess the theme to the second half of the season was, those guys never gave up and they trusted what we were telling them, and they came to work every day and they worked hard to improve, and we continued improving. And, you know, we had some big wins down the road. You know, you think St. Clair was a Class 3 Final Four team. Sullivan was a district champion in their district. So they were some, you know, we beat some quality opponents down the stretch, and then to get to the district championship in our district from the 6th seed, we were the lowest seeded team in the state outside of 8-man. I'm not sure what 8-man was, but the Class 1 through 6, we were the lowest seeded team in the state playing for a district championship. And I, you know, yeah, we lost. We had a really rough fourth quarter up there and gave up 21. And that was obviously the deciding factor. But I was proud of the way the season ended, especially when it could have definitely gone, you know, the other direction.
When you get to the midway point and you look at it, okay, we're 1-5, we're not where we want to be, and then the team turns around and goes 5-1 in the last six. From your decision to end up retiring at the end of this year, did you ever think, man, this last half of the season is fun? Maybe I don't want to walk away from this yet?
Not really. I had had my there's just, you know, I'll quote Gary Ross. You know, he said 22 years ago when he retired that education had changed. And, you know, I can say the same thing. Education has changed from January 1998 when I stepped through the doors as a teacher to now. It has changed. And, you know, we can debate whether, you know, it's for the better or the worse and why and whose fault it is. But it's changed. And it's just I feel like I have employable skills other places. And, you know, this is the rule of 80. You know, once you reach the rule of 80 in the state of Missouri, you're eligible for full retirement. And there are some incentives if you go longer, and some teachers choose to do that. But I just feel like, you know, it's I think we all have a shelf life, and I kind of feel like when it comes to education, I've really at the end of my shelf life.
You look back at your 9 years here as the head coach of the football team. When you started before week one of year one, what would you have thought had somebody said, hey, you're going to be here for 9 years as the head coach?
Well, I knew outside of Coach Haug that nobody had lasted longer than five. And that was a concern because I was giving up something that I was a place that I was really comfortable down in the shop and was coming to the weight room where, you know, that job was tied to being the head football coach. And in my exit from the shop, they replaced me with a guy that has been a really good addition to the high school. And, I guess the biggest concern is what if this goes south, you know, where am I going to go? You know, where am I going to go from here? Because I can't really stay, you know, if this thing blows up, I can't really stay as, you know, the weight room guy and not be the head football coach, because that's going to be a position that they need to possibly attract another one. So, there was always some concern, about the unknowns, I guess you could say. And I also remember thinking, you know, when I looked ahead after being hired, it's like, you know, that's 9 years, a long way to go to retirement. And I, you know, I hope I've made the right decision. And, you know, fortunately, I think it worked out.
And you mentioned that run in the state playoffs in 2021. Before we get into that, though, Coach, I was a senior when you were announced as being the head coach. I was entering my senior year. I think my senior year was your first year, 2016-17.
The 2017 season was my first
Yes.
season.
Okay. So I had just graduated. I was a senior when it was announced.
Yes.
And being a junior when the baseball teams switched the coaching staff, I was on the team. I remember just an uptick of, okay, this is something different. This is exciting on the baseball team side. Now, from a coaching perspective, when that was announced and you have that rest of the 2017 year to get to week one of 2017, did you feel that uptick in camaraderie and excitement leading up to the new year?
I felt like there was anytime there's a coaching change and we're going to see that again here real soon when they start interviewing candidates and ultimately make a hire. There's always going to be people that are glad that the old coach is gone. And there's always going to be people that wish that the old coach was still there. And I think that's kind of how things were when I got hired. You know, there was two groups of people or two groups, you know, at two corners. One was still loyal to the old coach. One was excited that I was coming on board. And then there's also the unknown in between. And you got to, the big thing is you just got to develop trust early on, because kids, kids can read through people better than anyone. And you can't tease or you can't fool kids, not for very long, because, you know, they see it all. And I was lucky enough to have some good guys that stayed over from the old staff. And I was lucky enough to get to hire a couple of guys. And, you know, I think right away we kind of earned the trust of the kids that were there, and they understood that we were about North County football, and we had, you know, I, you know, definitely had some real loyalty to this place that they, I think they understood, and they soon understood, you know, what my passion was. And I think that helped us out early on for sure.
And in building the program, it culminated in that state run in 2021. You look back at that team that you had that year. What did it take to build that program up to where it was in that season?
A lot of trust, and just, you know, there was a lot of things fell into place that year. We, a couple of years before that, we had we did not have a good year, but we started a bunch of sophomores at the time that we felt were going to be really talented players, and they ended up you know, really being talented. And we had a couple of groups of guys that back to back that were you know, they were edgy guys, but they were also, you know, they were also guys that you could coach. And just to get those two groups back to back was not something that I would say that we built. It was more something that fell into our laps, and we were able to develop. And you know, we also got some you know, we kind of also got some help with the bracket that year. I think most people would agree the tougher side of the bracket that year was the west side of the bracket. And we were fortunate enough to get it, our first playoff game, the quarterfinal game. I had actually made a comment after the week 11 game with Farmington. I felt that whoever won our district would be a Final Four team. At the time, I didn't have any idea it was going to be us, because Hillsborough had beaten us week four by a score of 42-7. But I just felt by, you know, watching the way that other bracket unfolded and or the other district unfold and kind of the district championship game over there and who won it and the outcome and seeing the teams already on film a little bit, I had kind of felt like that we definitely, you know, whoever was going to win our district was going to have a pretty easy walk through the quarterfinal game.
That season and the season after that, you guys graduated a heck of a talented group of athletes in those 2 years. From your perspective, how difficult is it coming into the next season with all those question marks after the talented group that just left the program the last two seasons?
Well, it was tough, no doubt. And the thing, you know, as we talked about kind of off the before we started recording, the key to getting a successful district seed is winning by plus 13 every week. And so when you schedule, you know, everybody's got an X amount of games that they have to play each year. You know, one is your conference, other ones possibly rivalry schools. But then you have these other games that you want to schedule, and you try to, you know, they're not money games, so to speak, like they are in collegiate football, but you're trying to schedule teams that you know you can win by 13. When we were scheduling off the 2-8 season of 2019, that was really easy. When we were scheduling at the end of the 22 season, after being, I believe it was 20-5 or 20-6 in 2 years, mm-hmm. That became much more difficult. And as a result, you know, your strength of schedule goes up, and then that makes wins harder to come by. And the reality is people don't really always see strength of schedule. They see the wins and losses bracket. And that's where you start getting into trouble, is when your wins and losses bracket overshadows your strength of schedule.
I'm going to put you on the spot, and I know we've talked about it before, but now that you're out of a head coaching position, what would you change if you were the one that was able to change anything with scheduling and districts and all that?
You know, I've never been, you know, I've never shied away from that. I always liked the 14 districts myself. I think our season is too long now. The thing I do like about it is that, once you get out of your district, you know, used to in the old days, you were playing every 5 to 6 days, you know, at the end of a season, a physical, you know, sport like football, though, those 2 extra days of rest or recovery or practice time is important. Probably the recovery time is more important than the practice time, because I think, you know, once you get past week 10 and 11, everybody has an idea of, of who they are and what they're going to do. So there's not a lot of, you may add a play or two or a wrinkle or two, but you're not going to make wholesale changes into what you are offensively or defensively. But the recovery time is huge. And I wish we would go back to the 14 districts like it was prior to 2008. And, you know, the best teams get out and the ones that don't move on. There's always, you can always make a case that, you know, well, what if you got two really good teams in your district that are both state playoff caliber teams? One of them's getting slighted. Well, you know, regardless of how you shake that up, a team is kind of always getting slighted. You can look in our district the past several years. Would Hillsboro, the year that we won the district, would Hillsboro have been a worthy, you know, were there worse teams in Hillsboro in the state playoffs that year? Absolutely. You know, you go to the next year, was there worse teams than Festus when they got beat by Hillsboro? Was there worse teams in Festus into the playoff bracket? Yes. So regardless of how you do things and what, regardless of how you set up the bracket, whether it's 14 districts, 18 districts, whatever, there's always going to be teams that if they were in a different situation or a different district, they would be, you know, that they would be state caliber or state playoff worthy opponents. So I don't know what the answer to that is. I do know the season's too long. And I wish that what I hate the most is, you know, you talked about the 21 group. Those guys got, we'll talk about the Nolans and the Jobes and the Clayton Chandlers and the Cooper Kikex and the Andrew Civies and all those guys, the Grant Mullinses, all those guys that were multi-sport athletes that year, the Mason Lays, they got dead week off from June 1st of 2021 till the end of spring sports seasons 2022. They got 1 week off because of the way the seasons overlap and their success, you know, beyond the, you know, into the postseason and the way the seasons overlap anymore. They came out of football. We played on a Saturday night or we played on a Saturday afternoon, lost to Hannibal. They came into the gym and had a walkthrough on Sunday morning with Coach Palmer. And then that Monday, they actually played against Cape Central in the DeSoto tournament. They got absolutely no time off there. Then they went, you know, those guys went from spring sports or from winter sports into spring sports. They already
deep run on the,
yeah,
on
they
the
already
side,
overlap
yeah.
to begin with. So they got no time. You know, they had absolutely no time for about 7 months. It was just go, go, go. And I think, you know, we wear our kids out to a certain degree. And I also think that maybe, you know, creates or causes some overuse injuries that you know, it seems a bit that kids are dealing with more and more regularly now. I know everybody's got a different opinion on that. But, you know, Coach Aug, one of the things that Coach Aug always said that I liked and I tried to follow, you know, sometimes less is more. And I think that's a situation where, you know, sometimes less is more. But, you know, if we had a way to reorganize our high school sports where maybe if you are 10, you know, a 10 game season kind of football team, you get a break or two before winter sports start. And if you're, you lose in the first round of the district basketball tournament, you get a week or two break before spring sports start and just see if, you know, that doesn't, you know, energize our kids and maybe get some more participation.
I know a big thing that has been happening on the girls basketball side has been the lower count of rosters on the girls side with some small schools just dropping their programs completely. North County last year not having a JV team big enough to play full JV teams, which is crazy enough last year being North County was a class five team, thinking a class five school does not have enough. But you have these conversations with basketball coaches and they say, well, the fall sports season's so long, volleyball goes into when we start our practice. Girls don't want to start doing that. They just want to play their volleyball, then just take some time off, and they can't do that when basketball starts. It's interesting, though, to hear that from a football coach's perspective when you guys play in the fall, so you really wouldn't have to worry about that past that. But you mentioned those player injuries. How important is that player health to the success, not only that they have on the athletic side, but also the scholastic side with regular classes day to day?
What was huge this year for us, because I think we had out of 11 positions offensively and defensively, we had 7 two-way starters. So, maintaining, trying to stay healthy and trying to practice at a high level where we can compete at a high level. It was a lot of balance, and it was, a lot of day, mornings and weekends in the training room, in the heat and the ice, and just trying to stay healthy. But kids, high school kids are big routine guys. They are very routine oriented, and, anything that gets them out of their routine is problematic for a lot of kids. Not all of them, but more often than not, we are creatures of habit, and we all like routines. And, these young people are no different. And when, you see a young athlete get injured or they miss a day or two of school, and then, maybe there's some excess pain with the recovery or whatever, and they don't feel like doing schoolwork, and next thing you know, they're behind. They do fall behind in their academics. So it all factors in, and it's the one thing I always tried to do was I always felt like if a kid was a problem in the class, he may be, he may win you some games, but he's going to lose you a big one. And having kids that were really good students in the classroom, or really good people in the classroom and in the hallways, and then also being really good football players, it was like, I never felt like we lost a game because a good kid made a mistake. If we lost a game and we could pin it, we could put it on one kid, it was generally, maybe somebody that was not doing the right things off the field or in the classrooms. And, I told a lot of people, you're talking about this 25 bunch. I told them very early on, I said, I've never had a team of good kids underachieve. And I said, I'm not going to say we're going to go out and win 8 or 9 or 10 games. I said, but we're not going to underachieve. And that was certainly, that was certainly the case. I don't think anybody could say that this bunch underachieved this year.
Would you go as far as to say maybe they overachieved at the end of the year? And I don't mean that as a slight or anything.
I think that depends on the opinion of the team at the time of the season. Now, if going into the season, if somebody had said, well, 6-6 would be an overachievement for this bunch, it's like, how can you say 500 is an overachievement? Mm-hmm. When you look after week 6 and we're 1-5 and we end up 6-6, yeah, we probably overachieved a little bit.
What are you going to miss the most?
The kids. I think being around high schoolers, sometimes it's hectic, but it also, you build relationships with them, and it also kind of keeps you youthful also, I think. Definitely keeps you up on the new age slang and jargon and all the stuff that they talk. And, it's the only place I've ever taught. It's the only place I've ever coached. It's the only place I ever played football. It's the only place I ever went to school. So, when people say that they bleed blue and gold, or this person bleeds blue and gold, I've bled blue and gold. And one of the things that's always kept me here is nobody else really wanted me. And I just couldn't, I never could bear the thought of standing on that far sideline, looking back across at all the madness that goes on Friday nights in those home bleachers. And, being able to get that out of my head. So I'll miss the kids and then the people that, a lot of the people that I worked for and worked with. But then, what I also won't miss is the kids, if that makes sense, because like I said, it's not 1998 no more, and things have changed over the course of my career.
Where do you go from here on Friday nights now that you don't have to worry about being out there in the cold weather in your shorts?
Well, wherever I want. A long time ago, in our early days of coaching, my good friend Todd McKinney had got out of coaching at the end of the 2005 season. He coached with Coach Bacon. They went to they won the district that year and made it to the quarterfinals before losing to, I believe it was Afton. The next year he chose not to coach, and an early Friday night one fall, or that following fall, he and his wife Krista were out and about, and they went out to eat somewhere, and he just couldn't believe all the people that were in this restaurant and wasn't at the football game. And Krista, who likes to keep Todd in check, said, Todd, they don't have to be at a football game. And he was like, you know, from that point on, he said that the perspective was much different. And then he went on to say that there's a lot of things to do on Friday nights that don't involve football. And for me personally, you know, Lord willing, I hope next year on Friday nights, you know, my two biggest worries are, you know, what I'm going to grill for everybody when they get home, and where I'm going to fish Saturday morning.
Well, Coach, congratulations on a successful teaching career and 9 years as the head coach here at North County. Best of luck on your future endeavors, and maybe we'll meet again down the road.
Thanks, Jared. And I always enjoyed our conversations and our interviews, and always appreciated the fact that you were fair with your questioning and didn't try to take any cheap shots. And most of all, I always appreciated the coverage that you guys gave us throughout the years.